We're in Galatians chapter 6 this morning. I invite you to turn there. As we look at this interesting couple of verses that acknowledge our own physical limitations and brings to light the answer for when we're tired in ministry. Do you ever grow weary in doing good? This passage that is before us, we've already read it, but I'm going to read it again. Let us, verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. This comes on the heels of Paul's exhortation about sowing and reaping. This incredible agricultural illustration that what you plant, that seed, that's what you will get. Where you plant your energy and your abilities, if it's in the field of the flesh, then the results are going to be of the flesh. But if you're planting in the field of the Spirit, then you can count on the results being of the Spirit. So whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And this is a key principle. We've talked about it, but boy, we've got to get it. Children, young people, listen. What you sow, you shall reap. The decisions that you are making today affect the rest of your life. But verse 9 speaks of a weariness. A weariness where you could literally say it's a lack of spirit. I've been there. When it's go, 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 go. Get this done, get this done, get this done. And it's all good. It's all well-doing. I see some of you shaking your heads. I'm glad that you are with me on this. And there's a sense, you begin to develop this sense, a lack of spirit, a lack of strength. You become mentally, physically, and could I dare even say spiritually fatigued. Now, this fits very well with what Paul has been instructing this church, because the Galatians are dealing with this battle between the flesh and the spirit. Am I going to live according to the law? Is that how I'm justified in the sight of God? Or am I justified by faith in the Spirit of God? We know the answer. We've been through this study. In flesh, bondage to the law, it's exactly that. It's bondage. It's imprisonment. And the do, in seeking to be a worker of the law and gain merit with God, try to be justified with God because of all these things that you do, it's no wonder that people grow weary and grow tired. They run out of steam, and then they look for another option. They look for another avenue. It is bondage. But yet so often we will run to that because it's under our control. But what God desires is God desires a people, His children, to relinquish, to let go of that control and say, listen, I am subject to you and to your spirit. And so in chapter 5, the first imperative in this application section was what? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. There is this stigma, if you will. In fact, we kind of touched on it a little bit today. There's a stigma that in ministry, you're not supposed to get tired. It should be this, you should be, there's this, and I, maybe I'm only the one who thinks this, but this, there's this pressure to always be on and to always have it together, right? And, you know, how dare you have a moment when you're weak and you fall or whatever, and you just, there's this mounting pressure in ministry, and don't get this ministry as only the people that are up front or missionaries and that kind of thing, because it extends to us all. But the reality, even as we talked about some of our own missionaries today needing some counseling, do you realize that people are ashamed to admit they need counseling sometimes? There are sometimes people that really need help and need strength and encouragement from others, but they don't pursue it because they see it as a thing of weakness. When in reality, there is the church that God has put together where we are and ought to be a safe haven and place of ministry where we help one another along. Counseling has developed, that term counseling has developed this reputation of being clinical. Of, you're sitting across from a desk and all this psychology is thrown around, and that's the image that people will get. But do you realize if we remove that term counseling because of the stigma that it has in our society, and we say, listen, we're going to minister and edify one another. We're going to disciple one another. We're going to encourage one another. We're going to comfort one another with the comfort that God has given to us, for 2 Corinthians chapter 1. When you start looking at, like, admonish, another biblical term, it begins to remove and peel away this stigma that can be stuck on ministering people and on you when you feel weary and you feel tired and you feel like, who do I talk to and who can I admit this to? Listen, we're all real people living in a real dark and evil world that deal with real problems, real sicknesses, and evil, the evil one raging a battle against us. We're all in this. None of us are above it. But God has asked us and called us to minister unto one another. But you know what? We've got to get over this, that it's somehow a shameful thing to admit. Now, we got to realize something. If we are living in sin, this is a separate, whole separate entity, but we've got to talk about it. If you're living in sin, that's shameful. If you're living in sin, this is something that needs to be confessed. If you need counsel and guidance through that, then we as a church ought to help one another through that. Chapter 6, verse 1, we've already talked about that. And I'm not excusing just continual living in sin. But there are times when we will find ourselves either even dealing with the sin or dealing with a struggle, dealing with the weariness. What are we to do about that? When we look at this verse, it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It gives this idea of how dare you be weary, or it can come across that way. Listen, we know the Lord Jesus at times slept. We know he was weary. We know he had times where he struggled. In humanity, this is part of our lives. But what Paul wants to do to these believers and for us today is to provide for them the recipe on how to get up and keep on going for the Lord. And I believe the key is in the Spirit of God. The key in that first imperative in chapter 5, walking in the Spirit. Let us not be weary, spiritless, and well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. First of all, I take encouragement through this because the Apostle Paul includes himself. All right, so we've got the Apostle Paul here on the same boat. He says, we. He says, us. So the Apostle Paul, he's not a superhuman person, but he is an example to us. And here he says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Let's not be trapped in this, I got to do all this stuff, but rather let's walk in the Spirit and allow the Spirit to guide us in the well-doing that God is calling us to do. This is such a key thing that so often we struggle with. I know I struggle with. Because as I grow weary in varying different things, I look at and I do a check back and I say, why am I so weary? And so often it can be because my perspective is not I'm walking in the Spirit, but rather I'm living in the flesh. If we walk in the Spirit, we can trust God's guidance and we can trust Him to guide our way and give us opportunities to rest when we need to rest and give us the strength to go when it's time for us to go, to be when it's time for us to be. There is this reward. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. So as we think of this ministry, let's remember the imperative walking in the Spirit. Let's live that way. But let's also keep in mind that there is a reward. Living the Christian life is not easy. And it has never been built as such. And if you have sought to be a Christian because you think it's going to be the easy street, you probably already realized it's not. It's not. But what we see here is, yes, we've got to walk in the Spirit, but also there is reward. We shall reap. Future tense. There's a reward before us. Sometimes it's hard to see through the struggle, though, isn't it? Sometimes the pain is so real that you can't see beyond that room. Can't see beyond that next day. But Paul plants here this picture of reward. He acknowledges the struggle, if we faint not. And as the Apostle Paul told Timothy, finish well. Fight that good fight of faith. In many senses, this seems like this. Go get them, church. You can do this. And the temptation is muster it up. Carry it through. Like I do with my boys, if we have something that we got to carry that's heavy, I like to set a goal. I like to say, we're going to carry this table from the house all the way through the doors of the fellowship hall and to the chair rack without letting it down. And the pain is real. But we push forward because there's a goal in front of us. And so often, dear church, we get ourselves out of it. We are short-sighted. We are self-focused. Instead of realizing that the goal is not about us, the goal is about the Lord and His glory. And we can be so carried up, wrapped up in this weariness and in the work and the well-doing. And we lose sight that the goal God has set for us, the goal is for His glory, for His exaltation, for His pleasure. Not for your husband or for your wife or for your children or for the deacon board or for this church or your friend. Let's acknowledge ministry, doing good, takes effort. It's hard because we are in a world that pushes against us. Let's remember that there is reward. It's eternal in the heavens. It is set up for us and established by God, and it's for His glory. Let's remember that giving up and losing heart Oh, God, help us. God, help us. Boy, have you ever talked to somebody who's lost heart? They've become despondent. They have, in this term, they have fainted. One of the wonderful things is that God can help us to get back up. That God can help us to realize that, listen, there's more to this life than just me. It's not about me or you. It's about Him and His glory. And He has us here, dear church, for a ministry not to exalt ourselves, but to exalt Him. And yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, we're pushing against the winds of this world. And so, in light of all of these varying different things, as we therefore have opportunity, okay, notice the perspective is now changing from us being weary to what are we going to do to help others? As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I don't think I need to explain that too much. The household of faith, the family of God, those who are a member of the church. By definition, that is one who has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your Savior. The household of faith. We are in the same faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are called, as we have opportunity, to do good unto all, but especially unto them who are of our family, our faith family. This is one of the reasons why it's such a joy to go and split wood for a brother and sister in Christ, right? Because you're living this out. This is why it is so special to come alongside of a friend and pray for them. when they are despondent, when they have lost heart. Are you taking opportunity to do good to others? At times we are so wrapped up in ourselves and we are the ones who are fainting and despondent, but we have missed this next verse in the fact that one of the greatest exercises of our faith is to get out of ourselves and go help somebody else. You've been struggling. You've been struggling in and of yourself. Have you been serving others? Have you been helping them? Let us do good unto all. Now, let us do good, it says. Sadly, there are times when that's not true, where we can do the opposite. When we can treat one of us, one of our own, as an enemy. When we can allow certain things to cause relationships to break down. So the point here is, do good. Do that which is beneficial and helpful unto them who are of the household of faith. So, if you're like me, and you hear a message like this, you feel this tension. Because I know, I've talked to folks and I feel it myself. You feel this tension in your heart because on one side, we're not to be weary in well-doing. The other side, take every opportunity and do good. But if we're taking every opportunity that we have and we're doing good, I'm going to be weary. And we take this earthly-minded equation and we say, doing all this good stuff is going to automatically just equate, I'm out, I'm weary, I'm out of gas. Because this is the way we look at life. Because we have confined ministry in our own terms, in our own world, and we have missed the Spirit. Do you realize that God is on your side? God does not want to, God is not about just taking those who say, I will minister for you, I will do it. And he's taking you and he's going to smash you into the work, doing it, do it, do it. And he works you to the bones. Is that our God? No, that's not our God. Listen, our God is good. And our God indwells in us through his Spirit. Let me remind you what the fruit of the Spirit is. And you can look at it. Chapter 5 and verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I don't know about you, but I read that list and my spirit is ministered unto. Is there ministry to be done? Is there work to be done for the Lord? Are there people to care for? Is there much good to be done? Yes, 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 yes. Will that continue till the day I die, you die, or the Lord comes? Yes, yes, yes. Will it always be feeling like we're going against the flow in this world? Yes, it will. But you need to remind me, and I need to remind you, that as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must not be confined to the bondage of doing things in our own strength, but rather break out of that prison and live in the freedom that we have in the Spirit of God. Let's trust our lives to His hand, knowing that love and joy and peace and kindness and gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, this is our God. And this is life lived in Him, both within us and coming out of us. And as we live in the household of faith, it is that which we experience from one another. Because Christianity is by faith, and we live in the power of the Spirit of God. The Spirit is real, church. And the Spirit wants to control your life. The Spirit wants you to submit your life into His hands and to live in His way. I can't say it any better than walk in the Spirit. Walk in that path that says this is the Spirit of God's way. The writer of Proverbs put it this way: walk in the way of wisdom, not in the way of foolishness. Today, to hear these verses and to remove them from the context of walking in the Spirit could very easily send people home in despondency. I realize that. But I think we see today that the context is not in us, it's in His Spirit. That these things can be true, that this kind of life can be lived. If you're going to live apart from the Spirit, then you will expect despondency and fainting and losing of heart. But if you walk in the Spirit, you sow to the Spirit, you will reap life everlasting. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that the kind of life you want? Let me put it a different way. Isn't that the kind of life God wants for His children? He made it possible. Life everlasting. Sow to the Spirit, you reap life everlasting. How are you about doing good to the household of faith? How are you about doing good to all men? The Scripture talks about different people who are refreshment to one another. One of the ones that is really special is Philemon. And just hear what Paul says about Philemon and Philemon chapter 1. There is only one chapter in Philemon. It's so small, I can't even find it. There it is. Philemon chapter 1. Listen to what Paul says about his dear friend and brother Philemon. Verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by you, brother. Wow. Can people say that of us? That I am refreshed by you. You know how at the end of Paul's letters, he often gives a list of different people that he is a he thanks God for. Romans is no different. In Romans chapter 16, he speaks, verse 1, of Phoebe. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, that you assist her in whatsoever business she has need of you. For she has been a succorer, a minister of many, and of myself also. Listen, Paul could count on the church to minister to its own. This ought to be true of us. Is it true of you? Can we count on one another to minister to our brothers and sisters in Christ? Verse 3, greet Priscilla, Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Listen, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. You hear these things about people ministering to people. And let's rejoice in the fact that that is our opportunity today to minister good unto one another, to help one another. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. I think we need to really reckon with a few things today in our mind, in our hearts. Perhaps this passage has touched a nerve in your heart. Perhaps you're weary today. Perhaps you're feeling faint. Perhaps you're in need of just a lift from the Almighty God, from His Spirit. I want to ask you, if this is true of you, would you let me know? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. And just this simple act of admitting, this is where I'm at. It's okay to say, I'm weary. Is there anybody here? What about today? You know how you operate. I know how I operate. And I just go and steam through things. And sometimes I can leave a trail of hurt people, unmet expectations, shoddy work. And I just end up tired. I tell you, I've been encouraged, church, and I trust you are, by this reminder of who our Spirit is and the work, the fruit of the Spirit, what that looks like. Because the way is narrow that leads to everlasting life. I know it's not easy. God knows it's not easy. God doesn't want us to faint. We have no reason to faint, to lose heart. And so, would you help me? Let us help one another by reminding us of why we're doing what we're doing, under whose strength we're doing it. Let's pick up when another one may need rest, and let's jump in there and serve so someone can rest. Where there is help needed, let's jump in there and help. But as we do so, oh God, help us to do so, remembering we're doing this for you, and we want to do this walking in the Spirit. And you know what, church? This might mean that not everybody does things exactly the way you think it ought to be done. This might mean that not everybody's going to just jump in and do what you think they ought to do. Because if we're walking in the Spirit may guide us in a little different way. But praise be to God, there's one Spirit, and we can be unified in Him. Let's walk in Him, church. So, Lord, help us. We need your help. It's so good to just be open about this. Lord, to admit to times of weariness and realizing, Lord, that we can count on one another to refresh and encourage and admonish to help us. Thank you for the reward of living a faithful Christian life, that someday we will get to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Well done. It's for you, Lord. I realize that. We pray for our brothers and sisters who today may be struggling. They need help, Lord. They need encouragement. They need counsel. They need admonishment. Whatever it might be, Lord, use your church and your word to speak truth into their lives today, as you have done in my life, in the life of your church here. In Jesus' name, amen.